Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up on today's show, we'll take you inside the world of the foreign students who come to Ocean City every summer through the federal government's J-1 visa program. Critics say this program mostly serves to provide American businesses with cheap help, particularly as many states, including Maryland, move to raise the minimum wage. Plus, we'll meet the local siblings who themselves just went overseas, not for work, but to swim the English Channel. First, though, we'll continue last week's reporting about buskers on the Ocean City Boardwalk. As we reported last week, there are a growing number of costumed characters hanging out on the resort's famous wooden walkway. Much like the Elmos and the Cookie Monsters you'll find in New York's Times Square, they'll pose with you for a photo in exchange for a tip. But some observers say they're crowding out traditional buskers, from musicians to caricature artists, who've traditionally worked the boards here in Ocean City. And that's a problem for Bill Hassay Jr. He's the violinist who won a legal victory against the town of Ocean City last year, claiming his free speech rights were being violated by the resort's efforts to rein in buskers. Bill Hassay Jr. joins me now on the phone. Bill, welcome to Coastal Connection. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, good to be here. Good afternoon.
Since the court case and since your victory against the town of Ocean City, you know, you and I met on the boardwalk last year. We talked about it. It was before the final judgment came down. Tell me what life has been like for you as a busker working in Ocean City since your legal victory.
Well, I've been very busy. As you may know, or your listeners may know, though, we are regulated to street ends, and that's been over the last 3 or 4 years. And one of the unintended consequences of that is that in order to get a spot, and generally it's etiquette-wise, it's first come, first served, is that you have to get there earlier and earlier in the morning, and now it's in the morning, in order to feel like you're going to have a spot to be able to perform on the boardwalk. And so the performances start earlier and earlier, and I'm sure it gets on business people's nerves that we start earlier and earlier. And it is a cause of friction.
You know, one of the other unintended consequences that some critics say has happened since not only your legal victory, but also the victory that a boardwalk spray painting artist who we've had on the show before, a gentleman called Mark Chase, had the prior year, was the fact that the town has now done away with the permitting process. And, you know, people in the city say that now there's no way of knowing who's up there. And it's sort of created an open season, so to speak. And I went up there last week and doing the reporting that I was doing. And in addition to seeing many more buskers, what I saw was for every, you know, violinist or guitar player or caricature artist, I saw about 3 or 4 of these costumed characters, you know, Elmo, SpongeBob, Cookie Monster, etc. Why do you think there has been so much more or so many more of these costumed characters this summer?
I don't think it's been more this summer. They've been around for 4 or 5 years, and it's easy money. You get a cost, you know, somebody can get a costume and stand out there and be, and just be, and get paid for it. They don't have to do anything. There's no performance involved. It's just being in a costume. And the opportunity has been afforded by Ocean City to do it, the city of Ocean City. And so there's a proliferation of people out there, but that's been going on for 4 or 5 years, and I really don't think that it's more this year than in other years.
In talking to some of the traditional buskers on the boardwalk last week, I talked to an escape artist or a magician or a couple musicians, and I asked them what they thought about the costumed characters, and they seem to bring up some of the same things that you just did, the fact that they just kind of stand there, and there's no real art or performance art that's attached to what they do. And some of them were very frustrated and felt like they were being sort of pushed out, or, you know, their ability to make a living was being pushed out by the fact that these people were kind of, you know, just coming in and using the very First Amendment rights that you fought for in the legal battle, you know, for buskers, for street performers. And they were sort of hiding under that umbrella and sort of, you know, taking a piece of the pie. Do you have a similar animosity or feeling that these costume characters should be doing something more to make money?
I think my gripe is that even though we're limited at street ends, oftentimes the costume characters want to congregate around me and set up within 5-6 feet of me. And then it makes it look like I'm playing music and they're dancing right beside me. It changes my message from not only all the emotions that I'm sending out and trying to communicate, but also that I'm an independent artist. And they want to congregate around me and other performing artists so that it looks like we're a team, we're performing together. And it convolutes my message. And so I get sometimes upset at them because they could set up 20 or 30 feet away from me. There's a spot there, but no, they want to set up right beside me, 5 feet away. And clearly the reason they want to do that is so that it looks like they are performing with me. And I take issue with that.
Do you think that you've lost out on tips this year? You know, maybe a $5 tip went down to a $2 tip, or a $1 tip went to a no tip because those costume characters were there.
Yes, there's many times that you see kids coming up looking at me, and then we'll put a tip while they're looking at me in the bucket of a costume character who's got his bucket maybe 6 feet away from me. And it confuses the public as to who they should pay. And to me, that's clearly the intent of why they decide to set up so close to me.
You mentioned a minute ago this idea of independent artists and independent street performers, people like yourself who have gone out for years and they perform their instrument, or they, you know, draw their art, or they spray paint, or they act. What I uncovered last week, or what I found, was that there are businesses on the boardwalk that are hiring kids and paying them an hourly wage to go stand in these costumes. And then they take their tip buckets back and they put it into the kitty and they give it to the business and they're paid hourly. Many people believe that this is sort of a violation of what the First Amendment is protecting as far as street performers go. I mean, how do you see this? Does this bother you that there are organizations like this that are hiring people and paying them an hourly wage to be quote unquote street performers?
Yeah, it does bother me. And it's been going on more than this year. It's been going on and for 2 or 3 years past, too. Now it seems they take their tip buckets back to wherever they're hired from, and that's where they give their money to their employer. And last year and the year before, the employer would actually come around with a large sack and take money out of tip buckets and go from performer to performer. And it was pretty obvious what was going on. Yeah, I really do take exception to that. I don't believe that a business should be able to hire people under the table, not without proper paperwork, and send them out and gather tips from a public who think that they're paying an individual artist.
There has always been sort of this cantankerous relationship, or at least at the very least a strained relationship between, you know, the business owners on the boardwalk or the merchants and the street performers like yourself. And these court cases in the past few years have seemingly, you know, intensified that divide or schools of thought about who should be up on the boardwalk and who should be allowed to make money. The merchants have always contested that they pay the very high rents and the business license fees, and street performers do not. You know, obviously, the court decided that you do have a right to be there, and street performers are protected under the First Amendment to express themselves and to sell their wares and to make a tip. But do you think that what's going on with these costume characters and outside companies hiring people to be on there posing as independent street performers is convoluting that relationship and straining that relationship even further?
Yeah, it does strain a relationship. I'd just like to point out, too, that street performers have been performing long before stores showed up on streets and had to pay taxes to government. We were there first on the street. So I understand the frustration from a store owner who sets up shop in a store and then has to pay taxes, but that's something they choose to do. And street performers have been on the street and doing what they do since Roman times, and in this country, certainly since colonial times. But certainly that historical perspective aside, there is certainly friction because of that, because store owner feels like, or store manager feels like they have to pay very high taxes to be accessible to the public, and a street performer can just go out there and all they have to do is pay state and income taxes.
Since this court case and since your legal victory, do you feel like the case has earned you more respect as a performance artist on the boardwalk in Ocean City? Or do you think people look at you with more disdain than what maybe they perhaps did in the past?
Oh, no, I have gotten a lot of respect from not only performers, but business owners. Keep in mind, the noise ordinance also affected businesses on the boardwalk. And there has been communicated to me some feeling that the noise ordinance that was passed that I successfully challenged, what was also was resented by a lot of business owners, too. And I had one business owner actually come out to me, and he made the comment, "Nicely done." is how he put it.
Last weekend, after our story aired about everything that's going on the boardwalk, I saw a picture of a young lady in a bikini who had taken a makeshift stage with a pole and was essentially pole dancing on the boardwalk for tips right in front of the famous Ocean Gallery. If we look at the costume characters, if we look at performers like this, you know, do you think that the city is going to try and, you know, re-energize the effort to rein in buskers in any capacity on the boardwalk? And do you think they should after what you're seeing on the boardwalk?
Aside from businesses hiring people to go out and without proper paperwork and under the table hiring them, which I think that's not proper. And businesses, in fact, just simply moving out onto the boardwalk, which has happened too, expanding out onto the boardwalk in spaces reserved for buskers. I don't know what Ocean City is going to do. I think they should leave pretty much well enough alone. That's what I think.
Even the pole dancer?
There have been hula hoop dancers and pole dancers at various times on the boardwalk in the 20 years I've been out there, and I don't see where they've hurt anything. You have people walking up and down the boardwalk all the time in very skimpy bathing suits that one happens to dance with a bucket in front of them. I don't see where that's such a big deal.
Bill Hassey Jr., thank you so much for joining me on Coastal Connection, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo.